listening to Everlasting Development, hosted by Frank Jorquez.
So if you're looking for personal and professional development, you're about to get insights from successful people who know what personal and professional development is all about. Welcome to Everlasting Development, hosted by Frank Jorquez.
Hey everybody, what's going on? And hope you're doing well. Thanks for tuning back in to another episode of Everlasting Development. I'm really excited for today's guest. We have Andrew Metz. This guy is a riot. I mean, in little over a decade, he's risen from an entry-level lead generation position to vice president in his current company, overseeing all new business generation and a team of 30 at a SaaS-based insurance tech company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So without further ado, I just wanted to open up the floor and allow you to introduce yourself.
Yeah, thank you. I started my current organization at the height of the recession, 2008. Getting shades of that right now. And, you know, I've kind of been through this before, but I was actually at Oracle prior to my local small Milwaukee-based company that I've been at for 11 and a half years. And I was at Oracle for less than a year, and I got a phone call from my boss's boss one day, and he said, "Hey, Andrew, you're doing a great job, but we're letting about 100 people go today, and you're on that list. Thank you for your time. There'll be a two-week severance pay coming in the mail, and we wish you the best of luck." And it was on my wife's birthday. I remember that. It was September 5th, 2008. And I think that was such a great moment in my career because it basically taught me that no one owes me anything. You know, I'm 36 years old. I'm considered an old millennial or a young Gen X or old Gen Y. I don't know what I am, but you know, there's always this rap on young people and entitlement and stuff. And I think about that as a milestone of, you know, something that most people may be embarrassed about or they wouldn't be proud of, but damn, man, that's the adversity that I needed to just go, no one's owing me anything. It doesn't matter. I actually wrote my quota for the previous quarter. I felt great about what I was doing, and I was gone. So, you know, when I found my spot as a SDR at Xywave, it was one of those things where I was immediately on a team of 10, and I thought to myself, day one, if they're going to let go of the whole team, I'm going to be the last guy they let go of. That was my mentality. And being a, you know, a cold caller and a metrics driven organization and a private equity backed organization, you know, if you want to outwork everyone, it's going to be transparent. So I didn't need to tell anyone anything. I wasn't proclaiming I was going to be the world's best. I just let my work talk for itself. And, you know, 11 and a half years later, I oversee all our new business logo. I oversee our SDR team, which is 12 people, and the manager rolls up to me. And then I have three other regional managers and 22 reps there. So I have about a team of, I don't know, 35 or so that roll up through me. And we oversee the majority of our new business logos coming into the company now in a vice president role.
Wow. And that's a fantastic background and journey. And, you know, something, you know, that you said was interesting in terms of, you know, the advice and getting started. I want to know your thoughts on what advice you would give to someone who wants to pursue a career like yours and wants to perhaps go through that same route.
I've had this conversation many times. I mean, I've had the pleasure of mentoring a lot of young salespeople because I've grown. I took over a sales team with 10 people, and we ended it with 4 years later with 28 reps or something like that. And I've just done a lot of hiring. And I think that the immediate thing that I think of is, you know, there's a lack of patience. You know, people look at my LinkedIn resume and see I've been promoted 5 times. And, you know, you can read through that in 20 seconds and you go, okay, moved here, there, that, this, that. But that was over a decade of my life. You know, I was a much different person 11 and a half years ago. I've grown a lot. I've put in a lot of hard work. I always tell these salespeople that I'm hiring and working with is that I cold called for almost 2 years as an SDR before I even took a meeting, you know, and people that sounds like something, but to live through that is something different. So one of the biggest advice I give is just be patient. See the big picture. Don't assume that anyone's going to give you something just because you worked hard. Sometimes there's a capacity things. I mean, I benefited from the growth of my organization. We had 100 people in 2008 and we got 550 people in 2020. And that doesn't, you know, happen with every, not every organization, you know, 5X's in size in a 10-year period. But, you know, I've been fortunate to be with a private equity company that's invested a lot of capital. I've had great leaders that I've learned from. Certainly Joaquin Santos, who you're familiar with, is one of those guys that's on, that's been a great, mentor and, leader figure for me. And, you know, patience is part of it, working on your craft, being proud of what you're doing and, you know, being at the right organization is part of it as well. So I've been very fortunate, to be at the right place at the right time, but there's been a lot of blood, sweat, and tears I've gone into it as well.
Yeah. As any journey, any successful journey will bring. And another thing that you said really resonated with me in terms of mentors. And you mentioned Joaquin Santos, and I got to say, he's been, you know, so influential to my success and where I'm at today. So who are three people who have been most influential to you in your career?
Yeah, some are in the organization, some are out. I mean, Joaquin's definitely there. I've reported to him directly for a number of years. He was my original manager, but a guy that has a very high standard for himself and keeps high standards around him. And that, you know, there's nothing slips through the cracks and always being on your toes, but, you know, always challenging people's games to be better and find ways to innovate. And I've always admired that about Joaquin. You know, internally, our executive VP of sales, Eric Bloom, who's worked under Joaquin as well. Similar thing where, you know, I've had a long career with him on and off as my manager, and I report to him directly now. And he's, you know, similar thing where he's very sharp, very professional. I'm probably more relaxed and goof around too much, but I have a lot of fun. But he definitely keeps me sharp, and I think is always pushing for a little something extra, even when we're doing well. And I appreciate that. Like, no one's going to be content. He definitely does recognition well, but he'll challenge us as well, especially someone I've worked with for a long time. You know, outside of that, I have a lot of folks outside of the organization that I admire, whether it be mentors. And I think it's important to have people kind of in your bubble and outside your bubble. As far as mentors go, I think probably the third one I would say is I have an uncle that was a 3-star general in the Army, and he was the CEO of a large nonprofit here in Milwaukee recently. And his military background and going to West Point and being deployed, and he was in the Pentagon on 9/11, and he's just seen so many things. His name's Bill Troy. I just admire him a lot as a man, as a father figure, as a CEO, as a time in the service. And I just think about his, he's lived a lot of life, and I admire that tremendously outside of just a professional setting.
That you hit the nail on the head there. And, you know, speaking about your last, you know, influential person of Bill Troy, you know, I was raised with just my grandparents, my nana and tata, I call them. Mm-hmm. And my tata, my grandfather, he is very much my father figure, having raised me. And he was a Vietnam veteran. So definitely having grown up with someone who was a general in the Vietnam War, definitely kind of brings a different level of respect. So definitely you touching on that, I had some resignations there. So Andrew, like, what's one thing you wish you had known at the beginning of your career, knowing what you know now?
Oh, that's a good question. I think, probably I had a level of arrogance. I mean, I had some swagger. I think I came across too brash at times, and I've just learned a lot of humility. Like, the more I'm willing to kind of admit things that I'm not great at, and learn from those lessons. Just have a level of humility and understand I could be better. It just seems to take away all the power that an insecurity has if you can admit it. And it's something you can work on. And I think, I was too over the top at times, too brash, too arrogant. And I think people appreciate a leader that's strong and confident, and I have a lot of that, but's not afraid to admit failures or admit things they've learned. I mean, I've done a lot of that through LinkedIn. I started posting on LinkedIn in I think November of last year. I had 1,200 connections. I just looked this morning. I have 7,200 connections. So in whatever 6 months, I've added 6,000 connections. And it's just been sharing stories of my life, things I learned, mistakes I made, and how I've changed. And, you know, I don't know if that's advice or that's just living that experience, but part of me also thinks I people always say, would you change one thing in your career? I don't know if I would, because just like your grandfather was in Vietnam, those are experiences that create wisdom, right? And you probably don't carry that with you unless you go through that. So, you know, being let go from Oracle or making leadership mistakes. I mean, when I was an early manager, I think I overpromised and underdelivered, and I try to never do that now, but I wouldn't have known that unless I went through that, right? So having some of those mistakes and learning from that, hopefully that makes us better, and hopefully we're learning from those areas that we failed.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, speaking from someone who's a early leader himself, you were talking about early manager mistakes and, you know, just being able to learn humility and learn from your lessons. Can you tell us a time when you went through a failure, a mistake, and that you made and what you did to bounce back stronger?
Yeah. Man, it's like, I don't even know where to start. So many things I've done, you know, probably, just rough around the edges. I think one of the stories that I've told before, that I think is, I think about often is, I was in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and there was a big snowstorm, and I went to the rental car. I was there for work, and I had to take a client out to dinner, and then I had a lunch meeting the next day, and all they had at the rental counter was a minivan. And it was like, nothing says baller like a sales guy taking a minivan, you know, taking someone out in a minivan. And I was like, oh man, is there any other cars? They're like, sorry, sir, you know, snowstorm, we're jam packed. This is the only vehicle we have. And I was like, you know, I'll make a joke of it. This will be funny. So I go out to dinner that night, and we end up meeting the guy at the restaurant. He didn't see what I had. And I was like, oh, it's fine. I was like, I'm just going to make a joke of it tomorrow when I pick up these guys for lunch. Like, hey, I'm driving the minivan. Ha ha ha. And so I kind of got over it. And when I meet at these guys' office, super nice guy, he showed me around. I made a joke about the minivan, and then I met his business partner, and they're like, let's head out to lunch. They were going to head out to a client meeting. I was like, all right, I'm the guy in the minivan. I'll drive you. We'll take the minivan. He's like, I'm going to take my own car. And I said, okay, no problem. Just so I know who I'm following, or what kind of car do you drive? He's like, I'm in the blue minivan. And so it turns out he was driving a minivan too. And it made me look like a total jackass. Me, the story is just kind of assumptions. You know, it's like assuming anything, and the insecurity of whatever. It's a rental car. And even if I drove a minivan, who cares, right? It's like, that wasn't the point. It was like, I was so ego worried and perception worried. And I cared so much about what these people might think about me because of my rental car. It's absurd saying this, but in my 28-year-old mind, I was just naive and I didn't know. And I remember just feeling so foolish when the guy told me he drove a minivan. It wasn't funny. It was funny now, but like at the time it was like, I just kind of felt like a jackass. So, you know, it's assumptions, it's assuming things, it's having unrealistic expectations about things and being able to go with the flow. I think as a manager specifically, you know, just knowing in your mind that there's going to be challenges to face tomorrow or a week from now or a month from now, and having the confidence that when you cross that bridge, you're going to be able to handle it is powerful. and not staying awake at night thinking about how am I going to solve this problem, just having the subtle, the quiet confidence that when those things happen, I'm ready for it. And you know, COVID-19 and what we're dealing with now has certainly challenged a lot of things. You know, it's been very tricky. But I was just on the phone with my SDR manager this morning, and I told him, I said, you know, we're talking about this, and I have three kids, and my wife and I are trying to homeschool them, and I'm trying to work, and you know, it's chaos. But I told him, I said, this is great as a young leader for you, and it's great for me because this is challenging us. This is creating experiences for us to go through and to try to figure out how to lead a team in a time of uncertainty. And people are looking for strong leaders, and they're looking for creative answers, and they're looking for a steady hand at the wheel, and we can provide all those things. So it's, in some ways it's a big challenge, but in a lot of ways it's very exciting.
I couldn't agree more. I think as a young leader and having going through this situation first myself, it's definitely daunting, and you know, there's a team looking up to you, and yeah, everything's uncertain. So we're definitely going to come out of this stronger, having learned new experiences and having this under our belt, and a new success story is what I'm looking forward to.
Absolutely.
So Andrew, I wanted to kind of stay on the topic in terms of, you know, failures and, you know, digging deeper into, you know, what you did to turn your life around. And part of me following a lot of your content and engaging with it, I came across a story. And I know you wouldn't have posted it if, you know, you wouldn't be open to talking about it, but it was a picture of you six years ago on the left, and today a picture on the right. I'm sure you're familiar with it, but I don't know it off the top of my head, but the post said something along the line, like, you took care of those around you, but not yourself. And, you know, you didn't exercise, you're a little overweight, ate too much, and just had bad habits. Mm-hmm. Can you talk to the audience about, you know, where you were, you know, 6 years ago at that time, maybe how old you were? Feel free to share some of those bad habits. Feel free not to. But talk to us where your head was at and what really made you need to shift, what sparked it, and what steps did you take to turn it around?
Yeah, so that picture, a lot of it has to do with alcohol. And I'm not anti-alcohol, but, you know, growing up in the Brew City here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, it's definitely part of the culture. That picture on the left where I kind of look like hell, I'm actually hungover and I'm drinking in the morning at a baby shower. so gives you some idea of kind of what's going on there. Yeah, I mean, I've always taken pride on how I've, you know, treated my family, my wife, and my kids. And I've always thought of myself as a good husband and good father, but there is that, like, you're willing to, you know, take care of others more than yourself at times. That's kind of human nature. And, you know, the exercise and the eating, the drinking, there's a lot of things that go into that. Even mentally, of like education, and, you know, you can listen to sports talk radio, you can play softball, you can drink a case of beer at night, you can be, you know, fantasy football guy, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when I kind of took an audit of my life and where I wanted to be, it wasn't getting me any closer to my goals. And, you know, I look back at that picture then, and I look at it now, and, you know, I've adopted a dry lifestyle, back in October last year. And, you know, alcohol is a part of it. And, you know, everyone's like, oh, did you have a big problem? And, you know, what was the rock bottom moment? I don't think I had that as much as I was, you know, I drank a lot, daily, frequently. I was a frequent drinker, but not like a blackout drinker. I don't think anyone would be like, Andrew Metz, a huge binge drinker, but it was that moment in time where I had to reflect of, is this getting me closer to my goals? Is this getting me there faster or slower? And, you know, I've just made conscious decisions over the last 5 years to kind of, you know, start new chapters periodically. And, you know, October 11th, 2019 was one of those days where I told my wife and family I was done drinking alcohol. And my wife was floored. I don't know if anyone really believed me. And, you know, here I am 7-8 months later, whatever, you know, dry, living a different life, more productive at nights. When I stopped drinking was when I started posting content on LinkedIn. just more focused, more clear-minded. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with being a parent and, you know, kids watching. I have an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, and an 18-month-old. And, you know, you're a role model for them, whether you want to be or not. And so, you know, taking on healthy habits, I started running 2 years ago. I've completed 3 half marathons and, you know, gotten into that and just trying to adopt a more healthy lifestyle. I think children make you think more long-term, make you think about legacy beyond just yourself. And, you know, something is going to live on beyond the time you're on earth, and trying to be set the best example for them and, you know, try to be that good mentor figure that I had in my life.
Beautifully said. Andrew, I really want to thank you for joining us today at Everlasting Development. But before we go, what's your last thought in reference of personal and professional development that you want to leave our audience with today?
I think you can look at, you know, people on LinkedIn or authors and they feel like this celebrity, untouchable figure, but understand that all those people are in the same spot you are at one point. They just make conscious decisions to, you know, work harder, put their story out there, admit their failures, and capitalize on opportunities. And I think, you know, LinkedIn has been a platform for me to use creativity and humor and color outside the lines, and share a lot of my personal stories. And, you know, being willing to put yourself out there is part of it. But man, the opportunities that have created themselves, like you reaching out to me to do this, are just awesome. So you can be whatever you want to be. It's just how bad do you want to be it? And I think people stop, and I think a lot of people get insecure about what are people going to think about you. And just getting beyond that to not care, because ultimately it's your life. So, you know, make sure you're writing a story that you're proud of.
I love it. All right, Andrew. Well, hey, thanks for your time. But before we go, where can people find you online?
LinkedIn. I use that platform a lot for my professional development stuff. I have an Instagram page on my running journey, which is a total satire, goofy comedy thing called Dad's Got the Runs on Instagram. And then finally, I'm launching a website, andrewmetz.net, where I'm open to speaking opportunities and more just kind of about my story, more content and ideas around myself.
You've been listening to Everlasting Development, taking personal and professional development to the next level. We hope you've gotten some useful and practical information from this podcast, and we hope that you've enjoyed listening to successful people who know what personal and professional development is all about. We'll be back soon, but in the meantime, hit us up on Instagram and Facebook at Everlasting Development. Till next time.